Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Ches in Maseches Ksubis. We continue in the second perek, Ha'isha Shenis Armala. We are on the top line of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Last word, Velisni. Okay, let's get back to what we were talking about. The last case of the Mishnah had said, the last few lines of the Mishnah, at the beginning of the perek, again, to review, had said that Rabbi Yeshua admits in the following case, where I go over, again, we're with Shitas Rashi, where I go over to somebody and say, this field used to be your father's, but I bought it. We believe him, because Hapesha Aser Hu Hapesha Hiter. He started this whole conversation. He was the one, he's the only evidence that we know that this used to belong to the other guy was him. So he said, it used to belong to him and now it belongs to me. So therefore, he is believed. But if there were witnesses that it used to belong to the other man, so that he's not believed, that was the safe of the Mishnah. And yesterday's daf, the second half of yesterday's daf, discussed why we had to mention a case where he says, it used to be your father's. Why don't you just say a Pasha case? This was yours, and now it's mine. Now, the Mishnah, the Gemara described why it has to be a case of the father. So now, the Gemara tries another option. Velisni, the top of Yuches Amud Aleph, Velisni, says the Gemara, Velisni, Moda Rebbe Yehoshua, Ba'omer Lachaveiro, Mana Lavisi Mimcha, Uparatav Lacha, Shehu Neman. Why didn't the Mishnah give? I have a different case that the Mishnah could have listed. And it's always better to have a case about the person himself, without bringing in the father. That was the assumption of yesterday's questions. Same assumption as this question. Why didn't the Mishnah say the following case, where Rabbi Yeshua goes over to some, Rabbi Yeshua says that if somebody goes over to another man and says, I borrowed $100 from you, but I paid you back. Again, he's starting the whole conversation. It's up to him. That's Pesha Asar, Hua Pesha Hiter. So why didn't they say that case? Again, not without getting the father involved. Why didn't it just say, I borrowed $100 from you and I paid you back already? So the Gemara says, even before that, the Chassam Sofer is bothered by this question. What's the question of the Gemara? This is a better Chiddush. The Gemara should have said this case because it's not about the father, it's only about the person involved. But 1 second, says the Chassam Sofer. The case the Mishnah has a bigger Chiddush than the suggested one. Why? Because the Mishnah's case is an example of a Migul Lahotzi, says the Chassam Sofer. Right? Because I say, this used to be yours and now it's mine. So it's being motzi from the original owner's possession, from the marakama, by saying, it was yours and I bought it. So, and we believe that Pesha Asar, we believe that Migul Lahotzi. Here, what is he saying? I don't have to pay you. I don't have to pay you, that's a Migul Lahachzik. So isn't it a bigger chiddush to say a Migul Lahotzi than a Migul Lahachzik? That's the Chassam Sofer's question on the question of the Gemara. The Gemara says, why do you say this case? No! The case of the Mishnah is a bigger Chiddush, because it's a Migul Lahotzi, it's being motzi from the original owner. Says the Chassam Sofer, what you have to say is that maybe here we're talking about a Migul Lahotzi type of case. Maybe there's a mashkon involved. Maybe there's a mashkon involved, the collateral. So when he says, you know, I don't have to pay you, so he's saying, and I get to, you know, the mashkon maybe is going to switch. He comes up with a case, the Chassam Sofer here, so he tries to come up with a case. Either way, he has that ha'ara. Yeah. If the lender is still holding the mashkon, but he says, okay, is that a proof? I get into, you know, how do you look at mashkon? But that's his, he doesn't use the word mashkon. He says pikadon. Pikadon, he just has an object of his. Okay, getting back to the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, why didn't it say this case of, again, instead of the father case, say the case that Rabbi Yeshua admits to, I owed you $100 and I paid you back. And again, the Gemara says, Bishum to Kabar Lamisti Seifa, because the Seifa makes that case problematic. The next line of the Mishnah, Im Yesh Edim Shehu Lava Mimenu, Vuhu Amar Paratev Eino Ne'aman. If we plug it into the Seifa, so what would be the second half? If it wasn't that the man came over and said, I borrowed money and I paid you. But we have witnesses that there was a loan. We have witnesses that Reuven lent Shimon money. So when Shimon comes over and admits, he's not telling us anything new. So, Eino Ne'aman, the Mishnah would be telling me, he wouldn't be believed in that case. Says the Gemara, though, that's not true. He would be believed in that case, and therefore doesn't fit into the Mishnah. Why would he be believed? V'hakaimalon, because we hold, it's a machlokes and mesech shvuas, but we hold, ha'malves chaver be'edim, eino tzarech lafar be'edim. Just because the lending originally was done in front of witnesses, that does not mean that the ultimate payment has to be done in front of witnesses. There's a machlokes, tzarech or ein tzarech, but we pass it doesn't have to be. So in our Mishnah, just even if there were edim on the original loan, If he says, I paid you back, and you have no proof that he didn't pay you back, so then he's going to be potter. So the second line of the Mishnah wouldn't make sense. If you say, and if there were Edom, he would be Ein or Naaman. He would be Naaman. So therefore, says the Gemara, that cannot be the case of the Mishnah either. Okay? Suggestion, rejection. Period. Interesting, the Machlokas there in Shavuos quotes a Machlok, quote, the Gemara there in Shavuos quotes this Machlokas. If you lend with in front of Edom, so what would you say? Do you have to pay back in front of Edom or not? So the Gemara says, on the one hand, there's an opinion that says, you have to pay back in front of Edom. Why? What's the Svara? Because if I went through the trouble of having witnesses here by the loan, I obviously don't trust you. I obviously want everything witnessed. And therefore, the assumption is that you have to pay back in front of witnesses either. I don't trust you. After all, why do I have witnesses on this loan? That's the svara for the Manda Amar of Tzarech Lefara Ba'edim. You have to be back with witnesses, because that's the implicit assumption. If I went through the trouble to get witnesses at the time of the milveh, it must be I would want witnesses at the time of the Piron as well. That's the svara for that shita. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin, like our Gemara says, Eino Tzarech Lefara Ba'edim. Even if there were witnesses at the time of the milveh, you do not have to pay back in front of Edom. Why? That's the general principle of Hamosa Mechaver Olav Araya. You didn't make a tnai, you didn't make an explicit tnai, so it's a suffix, Hamosa Mechaver Olav Araya. That's the regular din, and that is what we paskin. So far, what we do so far? Just a suggestion and a rejection of a case that could have been in the Mishnah, and we say not. Okay. Now the Gemara has another option, about the middle of the eighth line. For listening, what about this case? Mode Reb Yoshua, Ba'omer Lechaveiro, Mana la'avicha biyadi, v'he'echaltiv pras, shehu ne'eman. What about this case? I go over to somebody and say, I owed your father $100, and I pay back 50. Moda b'miksas, v'he'echaltiv pras, right? I paid back half. Mana la'avicha biyadi, v'he'echaltiv pras. Why didn't it say that case? Why is that a bigger chiddush? Why should it have said that case? Says Rashi, skinny lines, because he's being moda b'miksas, and yet he's potter. That's the chiddush. We know there are three types of shvuah daraisas, which we'll talk a little bit later about also. The Rambam says three shvuah daraisas. Shvuah daraisa has to be a nishba v'niftar. That's a shvuah daraisa. You have to swear and then be potter. Number one is moda b'miksas, right? If I'm moda to half, so I'm potter, I swear that I don't owe the other half. Shvuas eid echad. Eid echad says I owe something about me, I have to swear about it. If there are two eid, then I have to pay. If there's one eid, that's shvuas eid echad. And shvuas ha-shomrim. The shvua by Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, all the shomrims are shvuas. Those are the three types of shvua daraisis. So says the Gemara, why didn't our Mishnah give this huge chiddush? It's a case of moda b'miksas, and he's going to be potter. Because he started this whole thing, there's no taveya. So why didn't it say that case? That's Rashi's the fourth skinny line of Rashi. The afgat the moda makes a putter. Hol ve'eno tovo. So why didn't it say that case? Says the Gemara, Ali b'daman. No, it can't be the case, because we have a machlokas in Maseches Shavuos, and if this is the case in our Mishnah, this opinion of our Mishnah would fit into nobody. Why? What's the machlokas in Maseches Shavuos? I aliba derabanan. Actually, let's say the machlokas first. Rashi quotes the machlokas. Let's say somebody says, Reuben goes over to Shimon and says, I have no proof, but my father lent you $100. No proof. And the guy admits, you know what? It was 50. Or I paid back 50. He was motivated to mix us. The guy has no proof. The chachamim there say, potter. The chachamim say that even though there is
Still recording.
Baruch Hashem. Right? Still recording. The Chachamim say, even... Let's focus again. The lights just went out. All the people out there. So we're going to start this sentence again to get focused again. So Reuben goes over to Shimon and says, you have $100 of my father. I have no proof. Shimon says, 50 is right. I admit to 50. You know what the Rabbanan say? Putter. Why putter? They say that's like Meshiv Aveda. You're returning a lost object. What does that lashon mean? It means that he doesn't have to admit to anything. Doesn't have to admit to anything, so when you admit to something that you don't have to admit to, so you're totally potter. You're being meshiv aveda. So the Rabbanon there in that Mishnah say, even if there is a toveya, somebody goes over to you and says, you borrowed $100 from my father, and you say, it was only 50, you could have said zero. You could just say, get out of here, I don't know what you're talking about. So you're putter in that case. That's the shita of the Rabbanan. Meaning, Even if there's a toveya, if you're motzei b'miksas because you're a nice guy, you're going to be pater. So that's the first line here. Eli b'drabanan. If he holds like the rabbanan ha'amri meishav aveda have. What's the suggested case in our Mishnah? The suggested case in our Mishnah is where I go over to you and say, you know, I borrowed $100 and I paid back 50. There's no toveya. There's no toveya, and that's where you are going to be pater. Mashma from our Mishnah, that if there would be a toveya, you'd be chayiv. But what do you mean? According to the Rabbanan, even if there is a toveya, you're pater. And we're about to see the other shita, according to the other opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even if there is no toveya, you're going to be chayiv. So we're going to see the Mishnah doesn't fit into either opinion there in Masechta Shavuos. Let's finish, and then we'll summarize it again. Ialibet Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion, ha'amar shvuabai. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, even if you volunteer a modeh b'miksas, which you didn't have to do, your chayiv shvuos modeh b'miksas. Titania, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, pa'amim sha'adam nishbal tainas atzmo. It's possible that a person could swear based on his own taina. Ketzad, what's the case? Manal avicha biyadi ve'echal tepras. Your father had $100 in my hand, and half of it was paid back. Hari ze nishba. He takes a shvua. V'zeo she nishba tainas atzmo. So he's taking a shvua based on his own taina, meaning there was no tovei and you're still chayiv. V'chachamim omrim einu el kameishav aveda upater. And the chacham say, no, that's like meishav aveda, and you be pater. In other words, let me just summarize it again. Period. We have just rejected the possibility that the Gemara wanted to know. The Gemara said, why didn't it say the following case in the Mishnah? Reuven goes to Shimon and says, Shimon, your father lent me $100 and I still owe 50. And the Mishnah says in that case, pater. Pater. Why? Because he's volunteering. But the Mishnah is mashma that if Shimon would have first come over to Reuven and demanded, if there was a toveya, he'd be chayiv. That's the suggested case of our Mishnah. If somebody's modeh b'miksas, if it's in response to toveya, he's chayiv. If there's no toveya, pater. So the Gemara just said, that case is impossible because it doesn't fit into either opinion. We have two opinions. One of them says, even with a toveya, you're pater. The other one says, even without a toveya, you're chayiv. So there's no opinion that says, with toveya, chayiv, without toveya, pater. So that's why the Gemara rejects this possibility. Yeah. According to the Chachamim, when do you ever have a case where he has proof? Where he has proof? He has a star. He has a star that says you owe me $100, and he said I pay back half. Something like this. There has to be a toveya, not just a toveya, but a toveya with a raya. Toveya with a raya. Okay. Period. So that is rejected. So now the Gemara asks, we just quoted Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. What was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion? If I wake up one day and go over to you and say, I borrowed $100 from you, but I paid back 50. We make you take a shvua in that case. So the Gemara says, Elazar ben Yaakov, lesle meishav aveda pater? He doesn't hold that you'd be pater in that case? But then why would anybody ever do that? Why would anybody be truthful? He says, meishav aveda. We know the halacha is, why is this called meishav aveda? Rashi quotes, because there's a mishnah meseches gittin. If you find a lost object, and you return it to the owner, and the owner says, but what do you mean? This is only half of what I lost. So do you have to take a shvu in that case? The Mishnah says, no way. Because you know what people are going to do? They're going to see lost objects. They're going to say, I'm not getting involved in this. This might only be half of what he lost. I'm going to have to take a shvu? Forget it. I'm not returning lost objects. So that's why the Mishnah says in Maseches Gittin, Meishav Aveda, Pater from Shvuos. So that's the Lashon here. So Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't hold of that idea that if you're volunteering certain information, you're going to be Pater? Because what does he say? If you walk over to somebody out of the blue and say that, you know, I owe you 100, but now I only owe you 50, you're going to have to take a Shvuah there? Does he really say that? So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Betoano Katan. You're right. Really, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if it was totally out of the blue, and there was no toveya whatsoever, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say pater. What's the case that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you're chayiv? When he says you're chayiv al tainas atzmo, bitoano katan. Where a katan is the toveya. So that's not really a tevia. A katan comes over to you, and it's toveya money, so that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you're chayiv. Totally out of the blue, for sure you're going to be putter, because that's the condemnation of Eda. But if there's a toa, no katan, so that's where he says that you're going to be chayiv shvua, because there's something, the ball started rolling by somebody, even though he was a katan, before you came around.
So then our Mishnah fits in according to that
Okay, if you say that, we're not going to hold on to this lamaisa. Says the Gemara, 1 minute, a katan? If a katan is toveya, that's where Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says you're going to be chayav a shvua? V'ha'amar mar, einish ba'in al tainas chereshot of a katan. What do you mean? We have a rule. You never take a shvua based on the taina of a chereshot of a katan. If a chereshot of a katan is toveya, there's never a shvua. Never a shvua. That's learned out from sukkim in Masech HaShvuas. So there's never a shvua. So what do you mean? If it's a katan being toveya, so then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that you're chayav a shvua. What do you mean? You never take a shvua for a taina of a katan. Let's stop there for a minute. There is a major machlokas rishonim. How across the board is that rule of if a katan demands, if a katan is toveya, so there's never a shvua? There's never a shvua, or is it only by certain shvuas? So there is a shita of the Rimigash. The Rimigash in Shvuas on Daf Mem Beis says that a katan being toveya is only excluded from two out of the three shvuas that we mentioned. We mentioned before a minute ago. There are three shvuas daraisas. You have to know just to get the rules and regulations. All the other shvuas that we have are derabanan. Three shvuas daraisas, nishva v'niftar. I swear, modi b'miksas. That's one shvuas daraisa. Shvuas eid echad is the next shvuah daraisa. If I come to Bezdin with an eid echad on my side, the other guy has to take a shvuah. It's a shvuah daraisa. And number three, shvuas hashomrim. Says the Rimigash, when the Gemara says in a number of places that a tainus katan is in not strong enough to be mechayev a shvuah, that's only by the first two. It's only by the first two. By shvuas eid echad and shvuas modi b'miksas. You know why? Because by those two, the shvua is really to counter the claim of the toveya. So the katan can't really claim. Halachically, it's not a recognized claim. So by an eid echad, if the katan brings an eid echad, or the katan says, you owe me money, so that's where the Gemara says, and that we're talking about modim b'miksas, one of those two, that's where a katan cannot create a chiya shvua. But by shvuas hashomrim, says the Rimigash, there's never a tainas bari. What happened by Shomer? I say it was stolen. Does the other guy have any idea what happened to it? No, he just says, swear to me. I don't believe you. I have no idea what happened. So it's never, there's never a real tevia, says the Rimigash. It's all a taina shema. So a katan could be like a taina shema. Katan's no worse than a maybe. That's the chiddush of the Rimigash. Rimigash says, Aval shvuas shomrim de lesa machmas taina. That's not, it doesn't flow from the taina. De ha taina shema hi. Ela machmas shmira hi. Why are you swearing? Because of the situation of being a shomer. Kivan de shomer lakatan is chayav lo b'shvuas hashomrim. So that is the Rimigash shita. And then he says it's even meduyik in the language. What's the language of the phrase? Argamar just quoted. Ein nishba'in al tainas. Tainas, I lost the place. Ein nishba'in al tainas, chayav shvuas hashomrim. Only shvuas which flow, which are mechuyev based on the taina. But if it's a shvua based on the situation, you're a shomer, therefore it is a lair. This is the sheet of the Rimigash. So whenever you see a sheet of the Rimigash, the next question is, does the Rambam hold of it? Does the Rambam? Right? Because they say that the Rimigash was Maimon's Rebbe, the Rambam's father's Rebbe. The Rambam was like 8 years old when the Rimigash died. So it's can't really be, it was his Rebbe, but it was in the Masorah. So if you look at the Rambam, he holds of this too. The Rambam says, he doesn't just hold of it. Listen to what he says. In Hilchas Chiras, Beis Zayin. Katan shehifkid biyad gadol o hishilo harizeh gadol nishba shvuas hashomrim. There's the shita. If a katan is the mafkid and he gives something to watch to a gadol, the gadol has to take a shvuas hashomrim. Midoraisa horu rabosai. My rebbeim have taught me she'ein zeh nishba b'tainas hakatan. This is not considered swearing based on the taina of a katan. Shekol hashomrim shvuasan shvuas shemahi. It's almost mamish word for word from the Rimigash. So he quotes Horu Rabosai. That's why there were some scholars said, hey, the Rimigash is his Rebbe. But that is the Rambam and the Rimigash. Both are Mechalik. This principle in our Gemara only applies to the first two types of Shuas HaTorah, but to Shuas HaShomim it does not apply. Even a katan is fine. And the Rabbi there argues. He says, my Rabosai said otherwise. For Rabosai Horu, v'ani maskimi mahem, she'inu nishba klal. Right, he says, I think it's wrong. Afilo Hesis, even a Shvuas Hesis you don't take, says the Raivin. Okay, so that is the Shita of the Rimigash and the Rambam. Other Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, they argue. They say even by Shvuas HaShomrim, if it's the Katan's object, Pater. Even by Shvuas HaShomrim, meaning a Katan is worse than a Taina Shema, according to those opinions. Even though Shvuas HaShomrim is always a Shema, the Ramban and the Rashba, the other Rishonim in Shvuas, argue on the Rimigash and the Rambam, and they say by all shvuas, if a katan's involved, he cannot create a shvua. Again, this sugya, we're not learning Masechta Shvuos now, but it has to do with how much is there a link between the three shvua daraisas, or how much do they stand independently, or how much are there two similar, and the other one, shvuas hashomrim, different. Okay, but that is on this line of the Gemara. Now let's get back to the flow of the Shak Levatarya. So the Gemara said, the Gemara had asked, wasn't Ben Yaakov doesn't hold of the concept of Meshav Aveda Pater? So where it says, yeah, no, he does. If the guy totally volunteered the information, he'd be Pater. What's the case that you're Chayiv? Only because there's a Katan being Toein. What do you mean a Katan being Toein? You're never Chayiv for a Katan being Toein. We're talking about Shmuel's Moda Mixas here. So Gemara says, you're right. My Katan Gadol. Okay, it really means a Gadol. It just means he's called a katan because you're talking about things that had to do with his father. But really, it's a gadol. Says the Gemara, Ihachi. But what we're trying to explain, the phrase of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said, let me tell you a big chiddush where you swear based on something that has to do with you. Tainus Atzmo. So Ihachi, Tainus Atzmo, Tainus Acherimi. If we're really talking about a case where he's talking about something that his father had, that it's not Tainus Atzmo. It's Tainus Acherim. So the Gemara says, Tainus Acherim Hodos Atzmo. You're right. It's the Taina of others, but he himself is admitting to it. So the Gemara says, every case is like that. Kulei Tanasayu Tainus Acherim Hodos Atzmo Ninhu. So we're basically stuck. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita? We don't know what a Shita is. So the Gemara now comes up and says, maybe the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan is about something totally different. Something totally different. What is it? As follows. Elahacha b'derabba kamifliki. They're arguing about the following discussion of Rabba. The Omar Rabba. Rabba says, Vipnei ma amra Torah mode mixas atayinu yishava. Right, why did the Torah say, right, this is the five lines of mode b'mixas, which appear in a few places in Shas. Here's one of them. Why does the Torah say mode b'mixas atayinu yishava? Why is there a shvuas mode b'mixas? What should there be? What's the question? What should there be? Right? Should he be totally chayav or totally pater? Right? Why do you swear if you omit to half? You should be blank. Right? What should you be? It's not clear here. It's not clear exactly what should you be. It just says you should be something. So Rashi in Bava Metzia Daf Gimel, not here. Rashi there says you should be pater. You should be pater, says Rashi there. Bava Metzia Gimel Mar Aleph. Velo b'bnei ma amra Torah velo chashvu k'meishav aveda l'poshro shelo kafar b'kulo. He could have been kofar b'kol. He could have denied everything. You know, give him a little. You know, give him a. Be nice to him. Don't make him swear. Why are you chayiv? That's Rashi Shita. Why aren't you putter? Shouldn't it be like meishav aveda? That's Shita's Rashi. Why does the Torah say you have to swear? Shouldn't you be pater like Meshav Aveda? That's Shitas Rashi. So the Gemara answers, Chazaka ein ademeyas panda. We'll get back to the Rashi in a second. Let's just finish the sentence. Chazaka ein ademeyas panda b'fnei balchovo. No, you know why? Because there's a chazaka that a person is not brazen in front of his creditor, in front of his balchov. What does that mean? Why? What do you mean he's not brazen in front of his creditor? Three pshatim. What exactly that means? Tosfos here on the bottom quotes all three. First he quotes Rashi from Baba Kama. What does that mean? You wouldn't lie in front of somebody who did you a favor. Somebody lent you money, you're not going to lie in front of them. They lent you $100. So if you then, you know, deny it later on, so then it's you're obviously telling the truth. One. Then Rabbeinu Tam argues, Rabbeinu Tam says, no. It's just an assumption that people don't lie. Just like there's an assumption of a woman doesn't lie in front of her husband. No, just he wouldn't lie in front of a creditor. Nothing to do with he did him a tova. Nothing to do with that. Nafkamina between those two pshatim would be pikadon. If I deny having your pikadon, so you didn't do me any favor, but you know, I still, you know, we still have this type of borrowing lending relationship. And the third pshat, the Riva in Tosfos on the bottom, says you're not going to lie in front of somebody who you know knows that you're lying. That's a third shot. Either in front of somebody who did you a favor, or just, you know, xeris akasa this relationship, or in front of somebody who knows that you're lying. Okay, that's three pshatim in chen chazaka, ein adem az pe'abroi belchovo. So let's get back to the flow. So why does the Torah say, mode mixas atayna yishava? Because chazaka, a person does not lie, let's go with Rashi pshat, in front of his belchov, because he did him a favor. But really, this guy and that this is just restating what we just said. Really, the guy would want to deny it, everything. And the reason he doesn't is because he cannot be brazen in front of his balchov. But therefore, then, so the pendulum swings. So he really wants to admit to everything. Right, because it's Baal Chov, he wants to admit to everything. Why didn't he admit to everything? He doesn't have all the money to pay back right now. He doesn't have all the goods. So you know what he says to himself? You know what? Let me admit to half. And then when I get the other funds, I'll pay him back. That's what he thinks to himself. That's why the Torah comes along and says, Brahmana Amar, Rami Shvua Alei. No, make him swear. We want to make sure that he admits to everything, so make him swear. So again, he wouldn't deny everything because Chazakin of the Mayas. He doesn't want to admit to everything because he doesn't have enough money. Excuse me. So he admits to half, and that's the shvuas modem mixas. So what does that have to do with us? Let's just finish the Gemara first. So the Gemara gets back to what we said before. So what's the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov savar lo shna bov lo shna bibno eino meis. A person wouldn't lie in front of his creditor or even in front of his creditor's son. This might have to do with what the chazaka was. Some of the pshat that might fit in better than others. Hilkach lav meishav avei dahave. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, when you're talking to the son, you're not doing anything great. There's a chazaka. You're not going to lie in front of the son either. So that's not called Meshiv Aveda. So that is why you're going to be Chayiv the Shvu in that case. V'Rabbanan Savri, no. Bohu Deino Meis. A person wouldn't lie in front of the creditor himself. Alvo Bibno Meis. But in front of the creditor's son, you would be Meis. Umi Delohe is. And from the fact that you admitted Meshiv Aveda Havi, something that you didn't have to do because you would lie, the fact that you admitted, it must be that you're telling the truth, and therefore we will not make you take a Shvu. So the Gemara just brought in the whole discussion in Modi B'Miksas to explain the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabban. One ha'ara before we do the next Mishnah. Going back, let's go back for a minute to Amud Aleph, where the Gemara originally said, Rashi Pshat, Mibnei Ma Amr Amr Torah, Modi B'Miksas Tani Yishava. Why does the Torah say Modi B'Miksas should swear? And Rashi said in B'Metzia Daf Gimel, why isn't the halacha pater? Why the halacha pater? After all, it's like Meshiv Aveda. Why? So the Gemara answers, in other Meis part of the Baal Chov. So all the Rishonim ask on Rashi. We just mentioned before that the concept of Meshiv Aveda being pater was what? Moti Mitzia, Meshiv Aveda, is pater Mishvua? It's a Takana Drabanan. It's a Takana Drabanan. Why? If I find something on the grounds and I return it, and then you say, hey, where's the other half? I'm going to be pater from Mishvua. That's a didrabanan. Nida raisa, you should have to swear. So what's Rashi talking about there? Rashi says about Metzia. Mende ma omra Torah. Why does the Torah say Shua is what it makes us? V'lo chashvu kemeshiv aveda lapotro shlo kover bakulo. What do you mean? He did something nice. He wasn't covered by kol. The language of the Gemara is mende ma omra Torah. What do you mean omra Torah? Meshiv aveda is a didrabanan. So what is Rashi saying? Mibnei ma amra Torah. Why does the Torah say you're putter? And Rashi quotes, it's in Drabanan. That's the kasha. So a number of answers given. I just wanted to quote one from the Chiddushi Arim. Chiddushi Arim's commentary on Maseches Bava Metzia. He's also not just known for his farm on Chumash. He's on Bava Metzia. Says the Chiddushi Arim. I have a copy of it here. That's the Ramban's kasha on that Rashi. If you medayik in the Rashi, there's one letter there. You have to be careful about. V'lo chashvo Kim Meshiv Aveda. It doesn't say V'lo Chashvu Meshiv Aveda. Kim Meshiv Aveda. Rashi is just saying there's a model here. What do you see from the concept of Meshiv Aveda, that Mishnah in Gittin, that Dindra Banan? What do you see from there? That Chazal were out for the benefit of the Toveya. Meaning, I want you to get your object back, your lost object back. If we say that you can inflict a Shvu on the other guy, the guy's not going to pick it up in the first place. The guy's not going to bring it up. He knows he might have to swear. He's going to leave it there. That's the principle that you see from Meshiv Aveda. So that's what the Gemara is really asking, says the Chiddushi Arim for Rashi. V'pnei ma omra Torah, the Torah, right, Chazal follow the svara of the Torah. So if the Torah is interested for the benefit of the Toveya, if a guy knows that if he admits to half, he's going to swear, but he knows if he denies everything, he's going to be putter. So what's the svara of the Torah? How can you have such a din like that? Where if you admit to half, you're going to be chayiv, and if you deny everything, so it'll just be deny everything. That's what Rashi means. But why isn't this like Kimeshav Aveda. Just like by Meshav Aveda, Chazal used the logic for the benefit of the Toveya, and therefore we said he should be Pater. So here too, the way things seem, says the Gemara, it seems like admitting more is going to be worse, therefore he's not going to want to admit more. So that's a Pshat that Chalushi Arim gives for that Rashi in Meseches Baba Metzia. Okay. Now let us move on. Next Mishnah. Okay, so for the next Mishnah, the next couple of Mishnayos, we are going to need a little background. A little background, something that we discussed back in Yevamos. Back in Yevamos. And that is, there is a concept, a drasha in the Gemara, mi pihem velo mi piksavam. That's Gemara in Yevamos, and daf lamed aleph and beis. The Gemara says, v'rachmana amar mi pihem velo mi piksavam. Eidim have to give testimony with their mouths. They have to testify. Right? Mi pihem. They can't write their testimony. Velo mi piksavam. They can't write their testimony. They have to say their testimony. That's the rule. So the big kasha is, what about the concept of a shtar? How does a shtar work? A shtar isn't shtar an edus, you know, by a written down. So how do we have the existence of a shtar with along with the principle of mipiyam lo mipiksavam? So there is a chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam in there in Yevamos Daf Lamed Aleph, where Rabbeinu Tam says mipiyam lo mipiksavam only excludes one case. In Elaim, a mute. A mute cannot give testimony bal peh, so therefore, they're excluded from all edus, even bechsav. But somebody who can give edus bal peh, he can give edus bechsav. So mipiyam lo mipiksavam is a very limited principle according to that Rabbeinu Tam. Generally, Rov Rishonim do not assume this way. So we're back to the question, this whole mission is going to be about shtaros. Question is, so what, how do you have the concept of a shtar? So we have the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam is a big chiddush. The question is, does he really mean it? But the Rambam says, shtaros are derabbanan. Mida oraisa, there's no such thing. Mida oraisa, mipiyam lo mipiksavam. Says the Rambam in Hilchas Eidus, paragimel, din Torah she'in makabel an eidus lo bedini mamadis lo bedini nefashis, ela mipi ha'edim. Shnei rapi shnayim edim. Mipihem v'lo miksav yadon. Aval midivrei sofrim, shechotchin dini mamadis be'edus shebishtar. Why? If you don't allow a shtar, people are never going to lend money. What? Who says the Edom are going to be here to testify again? They're never going to lend money. So, Takana Durabanan, says the Rambam, there's a concept called shtaris. That seems to be the sheet of the Rambam. Yeah. What do you mean go against? The Rabbanan made up this instrument on a rabbinic level. It has no power. It sounds, just reading that Rambam, shtar is nothing. Daraisa, mipiyam lo mipiksavam. Ask the Ramban, there's something called a shtar kedushin. There's something called a get. That's the Rambam I'm talking about. There are shtaris that are daraisa. There's a shtar mechira. You sell something through a shtar. What's the Rambam I'm talking about? So what's the answer given by many of the achronim? There are two different kinds of shtaris. There's what's called a shtar raya and a shtar kinyan. A shtar raya means something happens and the shtar records what happens. The shtar doesn't do anything except provide proof for later on. Right? That's all the shtar. That's the Rambam. When the shtar says, Reuven lent Shimon $100. Did the shtar do anything? No. The loan took place even without the shtar. This shtar acts as a raya. That's what the Rambam's talking about. That's the Rabbanan. But a shtar kinyan, where a shtar affects something, a shtar kedushin, a get, so that for sure is daraisa. I'm not talking about that. That's not excluded from mipiyam lo mipiksavam. Mipiyam lo mipiksavam is only a shtar raya, but shtar kinyanim are totally different. So that's within the shita of the Rambam. So how do you? So what do you say so far? We have shitas Rabbeinu Tam, shitas Rambam, one more, and then we'll start, and then we'll get into the Mishnah, the Balamor. The Balamor, and Rav Soloveitchik was fond of this Balamor. The Balamor there in Yevamos Lamed Aleph says mipiksavam. Velo mipiksavo. What does that mean? Mipiksavam. If the Edom are testifying about something from themselves, that's the problem. But you know what a shtar is? There's a baal hashtar. There's somebody who commits. The person who borrowed money, he says, record my commitment. So that's called Mipik Savo. The Das HaMeschayev, that was the language of Soloveitchik, the Das HaMeschayev, the commitment of the person, is put into the Shtar, and the Edom are testifying about that. That's not Mipik Savam, where the two Edom are saying something, that they witnessed something. No, they are putting it to writing, concretizing that Das HaMeschayev in the Shtar, and that's something totally different. Okay, we don't have time to go into it deeper now, but that's the Baal Amar in Yevamos over there. Okay, that is Hakdama number one to the Mishnah. How is there a concept of Shtar? Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam, the Baal Amar, and there are others. Hakdama number two, and this the Mishnah is about to talk about. A Shtar exists once it has witnesses signed on it, whether it's the Oraisa according to Mos, maybe according to the Rambam, something to Rabbanan. But then there is a concept called Kiyum Shtaros. Kiyum Shtaros is a Din to Rabbanan, Gittin Dav Gimel, that Chazal said, in order for a Shtar to be kosher, it has to be verified. I don't know if this is a good shtar. Maybe it's a forgery. How do I know this is a forgery? So there's a din de rabbanan, which our Mishnah is going to talk about right now, called kiyum shtaros. Every shtar has to be verified. How do you verify a shtar? You have to verify the signatures. That's the key. How do you verify it? Five ways. The Rambam quotes, five ways. Hilchas Edus, Perek, Vav. Vav Beis. Be'echon mechamisha derachim. Five ways. Number one, if the judges recognize the signatures. It's an easy way. Hey, I know those signatures. I know there's the two Edom. Number one. Number two, if the Edom signed in court. Usually most shtars are not signed in court. You bring the shtar to Beis Din. Number two, is the Edom signed in court? Number three, if the Edom are standing there and say, that's our signatures. That's a third way to verify it. Number four, if other people are there and say, that's so-and-so's signatures. Number five, if we have another document which has been verified and we compare the signatures. And we say, oh, this is the same exact signatures as those. Five ways of Kiyum Shtaros. And a Shtar, yeah? Okay, it's correct, but if they signed on it, and they that's verification. We assume Shnei Edom are telling the truth. Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that. So that is the concept of Kiyum Shtaros. Meaning a Shtar we will not trust unless it is Mekuyam. Says the Mishnah. With that background. Says the Mishnah. Ha'edim sha'amru k'sav yadenu huzeh. Edim come to court. There's a shtar in Beis Din. And the Edim say, that's our signatures. Meaning they're mekayim the shtar. But you know what? Aval anusim ayinu. We were forced to sign. Those are our signatures. You're right, but we were forced to sign. Or, k'tanam ayinu. We were 10 years old when we signed there. Or, psule edis hayinu. We were puzzle. Rashi says, we were relatives. We were gamblers. Out of all the psulim, Rashi picks that one. Amazing. Right? Krovim or Masachim Bekuvya. Right? So, meaning they're Makayim the Shtar, but then they say it's wrong. So, Hare Elu Ne'amanim. Right? Why is this brought here? Because this is another case of Pesha Asu Pesha Hitter. They are the only reason we trust the Shtar is because of them, but then they ruin it. So, therefore, their belief to say that the Shtar should not be relied upon. But what if there are witnesses, other witnesses, that this is their signature? Meaning, it's not Mekuyim based on their own testimony. Or there's another document that they basically compare to. So then, they are not believed because there's no Pesha Asar. There's no Pesha Asar. Yeah. Oh, we're going to get to the Gemara. We're going to talk about Eid al-Mesa. Okay, says the Gemara. Two versions. Number one, Amar Rabbi Bar Chama. Rabbi Bar Chama said something, and we don't know which half of the Mishnah is going on. So first, the Gemara assumes it's going on the second half of the Mishnah. Lo Shanu, when do we say that the Edim are not believed? To say, you know, that second half of the Mishnah, they're not believed. When do we say that? El Sh'amra Anusim Ayinu Machmas Mamon. That's only if they said, we were forced to sign it because we were bribed. We were given a bribe. So that's when they're not believed. Why? Because the Gemara assumes right now you can't make yourself into a Rasha. Ain't other means Masma Rasha. But if they say we signed it at gunpoint, right, because we were forced to sign it, so then Harelan Amanim, then they'd be believed. The Gemara here, this is not going to be accepted, the Maskana, but the Gemara assumes that the only issue that is reason not to believe them is because ain other mesa masma rasha. Halachically, a person cannot incriminate themselves, and therefore, if it's not an incrimination, meaning it's my life was in danger, then they'd be believed. Oh, so we're going to get to that in Tosos. Amalei Rava. So Rava responds, 1 minute. Kol kamine? even if somebody says machmas nefashis, do they have the power to undermine their shtar? Kivon shehigid shuveinu chozer umagid. Once somebody testifies, they can't retract later. And if Adam signed the shtar at the moment that they signed it, that was their testimony. Now, later, they're trying to undermine the testimony. Now they're saying, oh yeah, what we did before, what we did then, oh, that was, we were forced to do it. So they can't undermine their testimony. The Ritva here says, just a part of the definition of edus is that it has to, you can't go back. It's a svara, or else how would you ever have testimony? How would the society be able to function if you didn't have this principle? Okay, toch de dibur, you could go back. Not Rabbi Kibbutz Shehigid, says the Ritva. Al mashehid bebezdin miskayim hadin l'zikus olachova. It says the bishnayim edim yakum davar. Im yicholim lachzor lahoid heich yakum davar. It's never going to be mekuyim. So says Rava, so what that they said we were, our life was on the line? They still should not be believed. And if you want to say that principle of not being able to go back should only apply to real testimony given by mouth, but through a shtar, we should not apply that principle, says the Gemara. Why not? Rish Lakish's principle, Rish Lakish says, Adim that are signed in a shtar are as if that is testimony that was researched and cross-examined in Mezdin. Rish Lakish says, a shtar talks. Rish Lakish says, a shtar says, I am true, I have power, collect with me. A shtar talks, and a shtar is just like the Eidim testified in court. So therefore, the moment that he signed on it, they testified, now they're trying to retract. So the Rava says, you cannot say that they're believed in that case. So the Gemara says, Ela ki itmar aresha itmar. Okay, you're right. Version 2. Rami Bar Chama's statement was not on the second part of the Mishnah, it was on the first part of the Mishnah. Hareisha itmar, hare ilu ne'amanim. We said in the Reisha that if they say this is our ksav yad, but we were anusim, psulim, whatever, we're believed. So on that, Rami Bar Chama said, Rami Bar Chama lo shana el shamar adizon inim achmas nefashus. That only applies when we believe them if they say we were at gunpoint, because they're not saying anything negative about themselves. Aval amra anusim ayinim achmas mamon. But if they said no, it was because we were bribed, they would not be believed. My taima ain adam esam atzmo rasha. Person cannot incriminate themselves, and therefore Rabbi Bracham is going on the resha and not on the seifa. Yeah. So you say which case? So you're saying Rava is kibbutz shehigid shevet chozer magid, but again, you didn't clarify at the time. If you give testimony, you have to clarify. You can give an amasla and you give an excuse. There's something that we're going to have tomorrow, Bez Hashem, called a moda'ah. A moda'ah is where you go over to somebody before you sign and you say, you know what, I'm about to sign this, but you know what, I'm being forced to do it. So you have to tell somebody beforehand. But if you give testimony in court and you're going to come a week later, even if you sign it, signing it is just like you giving it in court. That's what Shlakish is. Sorry.
The big difference is two of them come and say, so we was a false Shabbos.
Right.
The next day they say, no, it was not true. As opposed to, yeah, it's true, but happens to be, well, a bunch of gamblers.
Uh-huh. So I'm saying, but you can't, but if we don't, if they say, but what we said, yeah, but we're a bunch of gamblers, well, they can't say that. They can't undermine it unless we know from somebody else. If they give testimony, but not, but it doesn't matter. Kibbutz Shehigid doesn't only mean you're retracting what you said, but if you're adding in a detail which undermines what you said, that's also Kibbutz Shehigid Shavu Nechazer Magid. And that's what's happening here. The same principle would apply. It's not about exactly what you said, but it's just undermining what you said. We'll end off with one other thought, and that is Tosfos Kasha, what Michael just said. In Tosfos Dibur HaMaskel, the Ein Adam Eis Maskel Rasha, so what do we say here? That if a person says, if they say, the shtar is kosher, but, you know, we were honest, we just throw him out. Says Tosfos, but Rava himself is the person in Sanhedrin that holds up the principle of Palginon Dibura. We could split words. Right, Rava, the Gemara quote, Tosas quotes, Ploni Ravani Lertzoni. The person comes to Bezin and says, Ploni was Roveya me, sodomized me, you know, Lertzonis, and willingly. So we could discount the fact that he said it willingly, because Ena Demesim Asma Rasha, and we could listen to Ploni Ravani, and we could put the other guy to death. So why here is Rava assuming that you cannot say Pagina Dibura? So believe him for one half, and don't believe him for the other half. So Tosas gives four answers. Tosfos gives four answers. Number one, Tosfos says, because Kiyum Shtaris is only Durabanan, Midaraisa is a good Shtar anyway. So Midarabanan, we're not going to passel it. It's a good Shtar anyway, Midaraisa. Number two, Ones Machmas Nefashis Lo Shchiach. It's not so common to have a gunpoint, to have somebody, we're going to say, we're going to go out of our way, bend over backwards to split your words to say this is what happened. Very unusual. Number three, says Tosfos, here it seems more that the second half of their statement is explaining the first half. Ploni Ravani Lertzoni, the first two words have nothing to do with the third word. Ploni Ravani is an edus that stands by itself. Lertzoni, here, Ksav Yada, we signed Ba'ones. So Ba'ones is, you can't split that. There, the second half of the statement is explaining the first half of the statement. And that was the fourth reason, which we don't have to get into now. Either way, but that gets into Palgin and Dibur a little bit. We will stop here, and Be'ez Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Tomorrow we get into other inyanim, the big three averis, al tishka not having a sefer Torah that it's not muga in your house. We'll have other inyanim that come up Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. So be so tomorrow night and then Friday morning. So Be'ez Hashem Friday morning we get back on track of Yom Kippur. Today's shiur was the Zeichanishmas Yitzchak Isaac Ben Yisachar Dov.